With the coronavirus, the church is faced with a challenge it's never faced before, at least here in the Western world. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
I think the church faces a challenge now in the midst of all this that we're going to have to wrestle with in the future. I hope that what this will produce in people is a longing to return back to the courts of the Lord.
They say it takes 30 days to create a habit, good or bad. We're creating a habit we've never seen before here in the United States, doing church without going to church. So what will that look like on the other end? Will we be conditioned to just stay home? That's the challenge we look at next as we join Pastor Chris Gordon in studio for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. So yesterday here on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris dove into this idea and notion of God's judgment as it relates to the coronavirus. And we spent some good time on that, touched briefly on the fear of losing all, Chris, yesterday, which brought us to that second thought about fear of losing all. And we have so much to lose. And of all the countries on the globe, we probably are the most opulent, I would say, and have the most to lose. Have we so conditioned ourselves to the here and now that we've lost sight of the then and there? And how do we get that back, Chris? How do we restore a proper balance, if you will, between living in this life and looking forward to the next?
Well, that's always a hard balance to achieve.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's absolutely true that we have necessities in life, right? The Apostle Paul talked about being content with the things that we have. And really this does get to the issue of contentment, doesn't it?
Yes.
Paul talked about being content in every particular circumstance of life. I've always thought his statements in Philippians 4 are remarkable. Because here's what he says. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That last verse is often taken way out of context,
right?
So that people say they're going to hit the goal, you know,
right,
on
exactly.
The basketball court, you know, when they quote that verse. That's not what that verse is.
No, it's not.
The particular point there, Paul's saying is, yeah, I can have this kind of perspective through Christ who strengthens me in every circumstance of life. That's the context of that. And so, the reality is, and this gets back to providence again, providence being the almighty and ever-present power of God, where he directs all things, where, you know, good years, fruitful, lean years, famine, prosperity, all things come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. That what we've enjoyed in this country is plenty. I mean, overabundance. We've all lived like kings and queens in this country compared to how people have lived throughout history and how nations have lived. We have had so much. And so that, you know, the first part of that has been, you know, the challenge for us. When Paul says, you know, the secret here, which is an interesting way to say it, when he says, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content, the secret of facing plenty, that's where we've probably erred. In other words, when we've had everything, have we been content?
Mm.
And the reality is, speaking of myself, no, but we always want more. We've been addicted to growth. We've been addicted to success. We've been addicted to money. So the secret, Paul's saying, is when I'm blessed and life is full and we've had everything, have we really demonstrated contentment and used these things for the Lord's glory? Because when these things are taken away, if we've not learned that when we are full of plenty, the challenge comes when they're taken away, that then we easily fall apart. And what Paul's saying here is I've learned that secret in whatever circumstance I'm in, whether I have everything or whether everything has been taken away from me in this life, I have learned contentment as to where the Lord has me and trust that he will provide for me and he will care for me. That is the aim. And that is one of the greatest, you know, challenges of sanctification. Contentment is the greatest difficulty in our sanctification. So right now, in this particular circumstance, where we have the threat of everything being taken away, you know, what the Apostle Paul, what the scriptures are calling us to is to recognize all these things have been in the Lord's provision for you. And part of life is also learning contentment when everything is gone. And that's new for us. That's new. The possibility of that is new for us. Now, right now, you know, what are people saying? Well, we lost the gains that we had.
Right.
What happens if all of it's taken away? What happens if the stock market, if we have a Great Depression again? What happens if all your money's gone? What happens if your home goes into foreclosure? What happens if you only have the shirt on your back and your family next to you? You are in the very same position. If you have the Lord in the very same position of care, and he will love you and provide for you. That's his promise. But the question is what have our priorities been? And are we looking to the Lord in times like this instead of putting our trust and panic in the loss of things in this life, of which we are told that will indeed happen?
That, as you bring up Philippians, I'm also reminded of Paul back in chapter 1 of Philippians, where, you know, he's talking about this idea, I'm hard-pressed between the two. His desire is to depart, be with Christ, because that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Is that not a foundation for what you just read later on in Philippians about being content? I mean, okay, so he's learned the secret of being content. Content in what?
Right. You know, what he's dealing with in Philippi are Christians who are confused as to why the things are happening around them. There's sufferings, there's loss. It's kind of interesting, similar situation, different because there was persecution. But what Paul is saying is you have to understand the very purpose of life. You're really struggling with the purpose of life. Why are you here? Why does the Lord have you here? When he says that in Philippians chapter 1, you know, he's saying he's wrestling, what is better? Is it better to live or to die? Well, if you're saying that from an earthly perspective, of course you're clinging to your life here. You're clinging to hold on to your life with everything you can. You think stockpiling beans and rice is going to keep your life. And that's the wrong kind of holding on to life. Actually, Paul says it's far better to die, to go to be with the Lord. It's far better to go to die, to be with the Lord. But Paul says, if I have a choice, this is so interesting. He's not saying, if I have a choice, I'm going to live and run to the store and stockpile. Right?
No.
That doesn't mean we're not responsible. That's not the issue. What he's saying here is, if I have a choice, I want to live because it's more needful for you. In other words, he's thinking about his particular assignment, his role to love his neighbor and to serve his neighbor and to help his neighbor for the glory of God. So he's saying, it's far better to go to be with the Lord. But right now, the necessity is you need help. And all Christians have to learn to think like that. That's the sacrificial mindset that really the foundation of this book is Philippians 2. Jesus came here, and he came here and did what? Well, Philippians 2 is just marvelous. Think of this mind that should be in us,
yes,
that was in him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mindset. It's a mindset. He says, let each of you look out not to his own interests. Yeah, so as you're diving for the toilet paper at the store and there's the 70-year-old lady who can't get to it, that's not, you know, you're not living Philippians 2, right? Let each of you look out not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Wait a minute. Jesus came here. and of course, think of the glory that he had that he spoke of in the high priestly prayer with his Father. He didn't empty himself of his divinity. What it's saying here is that he had that glory. He left the place of of wonderful glory with the Father, and he came here and took on our rags and became a servant for us, right? Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's the mindset that Philippians is calling us to. If there's ever an imitation of Jesus, it's right here. To have that mindset. There's two kinds of theologies in this life, Andy, if we're going to break it down very clearly. There's a theology of glory, and there's a theology of the cross. Theology of glory says, have your best life now, live it up for the world, eat, drink, and be merry, go store up so that you can hold on to your life. Everything's about health, wealth, and prosperity. Now, that's all a theology, right?
Right.
Of glory.
Yeah.
Now, the Christian life is a theology of the cross now. It calls for denial, which is hard for us. It calls for us to follow Christ. It calls for us to deny ourselves, to serve others. It calls us to live under the afflictions of this life. You know, through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. So that when these things happen, coronavirus and these sort of things, they don't throw us.
They don't surprise us.
They don't surprise us. Jesus told us that is what is going to happen in this life. The glory that we're all seeking for is the glory that's promised in the new heavens and the new earth. That's why we're called to live by faith right now and not by sight. That's the challenge for us, but that's the perspective that we need to have through this. And that's what he's calling us to.
All right. So let's take that and springboard into our next topic that swirls around us, I think is a great transitional piece. All right, so we need to be more heavenly minded. We need to have this mind among us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It takes me to the practical side of this. We obviously have more time with our families, husbands, wives. How would you counsel and encourage those fathers and husbands, those wives and mothers, to encourage one another, now that you've got all of this time together, what are some practical things we can do as husbands and wives, as spouses and parents? And then even more specifically, we'll start with this practical aspect, to generate a heavenly mindset. What are some places in Scripture we could go to as families to start reading and learning more about our future home in heaven? Where would you counsel somebody to go in God's Word to spend a couple, 3 days a week to just read and reread and meditate and look at what God has in store for us?
Yeah, might this be, for the Christian, a gift of God so that we would actually turn to the Lord in prayer? Might this be that he has freed us from all these things so that we would actually talk to him? You know, that's the kind of thing that we should think about. I mean, I just heard, you know, Governor Cuomo on the news, in New York, say this is the silver lining. You know, you get to spend time with your families. Well, even the world recognizes that. Even the world recognizes that a unique moment has been given to people here to value what is most important. How much more should the Christian value the Lord at this time? How much more should the Christian, look at this opportunity to spend time in prayer and to reflect and to think about what is most important? So I think those are right mindsets to have through this. Instead of fear and panic, I'm sitting right now recognizing that my way of life has changed and I've got a lot of free time right now, right? And instead of living in panic, you know, we could take that time and use it to spend in fellowship and communion with the Lord. What a blessed opportunity, and we need to do that. In terms of our families, I think that's also another benefit. You know, that's why one of the things that I've said throughout this, you know, one of the things that's happened right now is that Christians are not able to gather in their churches, right? And that is, you know, what a sad concept social distancing is for us. Really,
it's horrid. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not how the church functions. They even know, as people, human beings, this is not how we function. They know we need to embrace. They know we need to be close. There needs to be that intimacy and fellowship and communion and all that, person to person, face to face. And that's been taken away from us right now, which is another subject which could be interesting to talk about. You know, what is the true banishment right now? In other words, what is the saddest closure in this society?
Yeah.
Maybe that's another program. Hold that thought. But you know, we have not been able to come together as a church. So now we have this time with our families. You know, I think fathers should take seriously the opportunity to lead their families in family worship, praying together, singing together, reading the scriptures together, acknowledging the Lord together. What a great opportunity that is. Mothers to do the same. These are moments that we can take and do that. Even if we can't do that as much during the week, we can do that on Sundays together. So there's, you know, there's a variety of helps to us, you know, online, and that's a benefit. But I think we still have that face-to-face personal interaction with our families that we should cultivate and develop at times like this. I think that's really important.
Any resources you can think of, Chris, that we could get through Amazon or one of our favorite bookstores that would help us? You know, I personally think of The Saints' Everlasting Rest that Richard Baxter wrote when he found out he was going to die. And, you know, so he started meditating on heaven an hour a morning and thinking, well, I'll do this till I die. I want to know where I'm going. And, you know, what, some 28 years later, he ends up with The Saints' Everlasting Rest. Can you think of anything or a place in Scripture, a book or something that would allow us to kind of turn our thoughts and our minds towards the glory that we have awaiting us in heaven?
Well, this is one of the blessings of our day. There's so many resources for us. There's many helps. I just saw the other day that Ligonier opened up their entire library now online. And all the teaching ministry of R.C. Sproul, all that is free for you to go and watch.
Wow.
I mean, that's a huge gift.
That's massive.
And yeah. Something like that, I think people should go to. That's Ligonier.org. And, you know, there's endless resources there for people of all kinds of subjects for them to go and watch. And there's devotionals there. There's Table Talk magazine, which is a daily devotional. It's an excellent magazine that I've contributed to. There's a lot of those sort of things that are, you know, a great blessing. You know, we try to post things on AboundingGrace.org. You know, but I also want to encourage, you know, families to engage the Word of God themselves, you know, to actually make the Word a priority in their lives. That's something I think, you know, can't be encouraged too much. It's something we need that needs to be central in our lives and something that we do together. So, of course, that, and then, you know, there's always a book. There's always something helpful. But I guess I want people to think a lot about the opportunities they have together to engage God's word and encourage them in that.
Mm. Which takes us to the last 6 or 7 minutes of our time together today. You touched on it briefly, and so we can at least devote the rest of our time together. And if we've got to make another program out of this, then by golly, we're going to do that. The downside of all of this, this conditioning of being separate, and technology has actually come alongside and really not only made that possible, but gives it the opportunity to thrive, which in my mind, we start losing some things that are essential to our lives as brothers and sisters in Christ, tithing, the Lord's table, koinonia.
Yeah, this is a good place to end. A good place. Yeah, good question. You know, I wrote a piece on aagradio.org titled, Should Churches Do Ghost Town Worship? And the point of that article is, what's happened is, as I scroll through Facebook on Sundays now, I saw countless worship services where the pastor's up there, the musicians are behind them, and they're empty buildings. So pastors are ministering to no people. And all I saw on the screen was 21. 26, 25, 28. Those are the people. And I'm thinking, this is so sad. You know, is it truly worship from home? And the answer is yes and no.
Right.
It's not corporate worship. In other words, corporate worship is the special gathering or assembly of God's people face to face with bodies. Right? This is what worship is. It's the gathering of God's people. And corporate worship, true corporate worship, is not taking place online. We have to be really clear about that. That's not Sunday corporate worship. So I think churches need to be clear about that. In answer to your question, and by the way, that's why I encourage fathers to lead in the home at this time. We at our church, gave the people sort of a little order of worship, and they could sing and they could pray together. And then, you know, we recorded a video message for them at this time. The challenge of this is real. The challenge is, I think, you know, just like 9/11, these sort of major events now in life have the effect of altering life as we know it, changing life as we know it substantially. And I think the danger through all of this, Andy, will be just like 9/11, that now there's going to be new fears of social engagement.
Right.
Like I said a minute ago, you know, social distancing is a terrible concept for us as the people of God. And I do fear that it's going to be so easy for people to sit on their couch and be distant from everyone else, that it has promoted this distancing from the body of Christ. We've already struggled in our ecclesiology with getting people to understand and appreciate why they need to gather and why that matters.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, throw into the mix all these church services where everyone's saying this is worship, into the mix of every blog and Spiritual Insight and every pundit and every user with endless bravado, throw worship in the midst of all that, and it's being assimilated into meaninglessness. And I fear that people will become very comfortable with this medium, and this will have a very devastating effect on the communion of the saints. There, you cannot get what you get online, that what is provided for you in body and soul when we come together in the body of Christ, fellowship, receive his word, and partake of the communion. Think of the problem of the Lord's Supper here, where Paul had to chide the Corinthian church for being separate in the practice. It is a fellowship. It's a participation. It's a communion together in the body of Christ. And I think the church faces a challenge now in the midst of all this that we're going to have to wrestle with in the future. I hope in the end, Andy, that what this will produce in people is a longing to return back to the courts of the Lord. In other words, what does it finally sound like when church is taken away from you? We've not known that in this country. We've never been told no in this country. And this was a good reason. This was for a pandemic. But finally, it sounds like Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Well, I used to go to the house of the Lord and the courts of the Lord. I used to go with the throng that worshiped the Lord, but now I can't. These psalms that we sing, now we can kind of appreciate. And I hope it creates in God's people a longing to come back to the house of the Lord for worship. That would be a healthy response to all of this.
And it is our earnest prayer here at Abounding Grace, that is a response that takes place in your own heart and soul as we find ourselves working towards the other end of this crisis we find ourselves in the middle of. If you have a praise report, we would love to hear from you. They always mean a great deal to us. It lets us know that the program is, in fact, having a positive effect on your life as you seek to live it out to the glory of God in the grace of Christ. Here's how you reach out to us. As always, our web address, agradio.org. Other formats are available. The jumping off points there for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, again, agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. If you're writing to us, the address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And then, if you have a question or a praise report, we would encourage you to pull out your smartphone, access the Voice Memo app, leave your name and where you're calling from, your praise report or your question, and then email that audio to us at questions@agradio.org. And we'll do our best to have Chris answer any question you have, or we'll at least be encouraged by your praise reports. That always means a great deal to us. But again, get out that Voice Memo app. Send us a question or a praise report to questions@agradio.org. Well, we have just a moment or two left, so let's return the microphone once again to Pastor Chris. And a very important thought in light of worshiping at home instead of corporately together.
You know, that question of giving is an important one at times like this. A lot of people will feel that since they don't, you know, aren't at church, they don't need to support those ministries. And I just want to encourage you to support your churches, support those who minister to you. It's really important at this time. We don't want to lose the most important message that this world needs. And so it's always hard to talk about giving because there's been so much abuse with it. But please remember your churches. There's a lot that goes into this, and they need you. And if you're able to do that, you're giving unto the Lord, and the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Amen to that. Friend, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time we're together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.